Hey Wes, my brother, what's up?
Oh man, we are not doing a full rack and stack, but we got what we'll call a twofer for today. So our very first guest is in the queue and ready to go. But did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was a good weekend and a good week so far, and just lots going on, like you, busy, busy, right?
Busier than a one-legged man in a butt kicking contest, but that's okay. I like it like
Well,
that.
that's better than the alternative.
It
If
is.
I'm left to too much of my own devices, I can wander off into not trouble, but just places I probably shouldn't go. So,
You and me both, brother.
yeah,
You and me
it's probably
both.
best I stay busy. So, well, you know what? As we talk about a lot, we do live the mantra: love what we do and do what we love. Do we not?
We do. And not only that, but we have somebody on here today that lives a happy mantra as well. So that's a great way to live.
I like that. I like happy mantra.
I
So you
do
think we
too.
should go talk to Joe, or you want to sit here and chat for a while?
I think Joe's going to be a lot more interesting than this mug.
Well, I don't know. I got used to that mug, so I see it. I see it in my sleep sometimes. I wake up screaming, which is a little terrifying, but
If you put a picture up, it'll keep the rats away too. So yeah, it has a dual purpose.
perfect. All right, let's go get Joe.
All right.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Welcome, my old friend Joe Yoder. How are you, brother?
Not too bad, Randy. How are you today?
Yeah, it'd be tough to be any better, but I'll keep working at it. There's always room for improvement, right?
That's right. That's right. Sun's shining and good things are happening, right?
Exactly. And it must actually be warm there in central Ohio now, huh?
It is. It's actually it's beautiful out there today. I can see out the window here, sun shining. We've got about 80 degrees, 85 degrees, and yeah.
Nice. Well, good. Well, thank you for jumping on. You know, we've known each other a lot of years now, and we met in a previous life for you, or a previous occupation or world. But I'm really excited to chat about what you do now. But before we get started, Joe, tell us who is Joe Yoder. Give us the Joe Yoder story, the background. Let's find out who you are for anybody that's silly enough not to know.
So I haven't been around for 40 years in the industry like you have, but for me, it's been around 24 years that I've been in the building materials industry. Been around the block, started in a lumber yard, working in a out in the yard, and worked my way through drafting and sales, and over the years worked at a number of different lumber yards, building materials places. So brings me to where I'm at now today, which is being a fractional COO, primarily two companies that are either manufacturing building components or construction companies. So
perfect. And you're in the central Ohio area, still Loudonville area, right? Is that where you're from?
Yeah, close to Loudonville. I'm a little bit east. I'm in Holmes County. Yep. Right in the Amish community here, so which is where I grew up at. Grew up here and spent 30 years driving horse and buggy before I made the switch. So yep. But yeah, right in the middle of the plain community here.
Love it. So so I think before we really get into the topic of the day, but you're just a little bit of a barbecue genius.
I've been, yeah. So I actually built my own smoker, put a couple of 1,000 pounds of meat through it, and then sold it. But I do a bit of barbecue, and then had built up a company called Behind Bars Barbecue. And what we did is we would take that the funds from that, and we would donate it to prison ministries. Primarily through the South, Florida and South Carolina. So yeah.
Oh, very nice. Well, I partook in maybe seconds and thirds of some of your barbecue or smoked product a couple of times in my life, so I can attest that if whoever has it now does as good as you did, it's darn good stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yes, and if I remember,
that's right. Baked beans.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yes, it was very good. I've become very good when it comes to stuff like that, which is sneaking back out when nobody's really looking, or I assume they're not looking, and you go through the second time, you know, or third. So good stuff. Good stuff. So exactly. Well, what in the world is a fractional COO? I mean, I know what a COO is. I know what fractional is, but it's a great question, right?
Right. It is a great question. And it's something that, so a lot of people are somewhat familiar or have heard of fractional CFOs. Mm-hmm. And so I had actually not heard of a fractional COO until I started this position, and I since learned to know that there are some out there. But so what is a fractional COO? So basically, if you need a manager or a COO, a chief operating officer, but you're a smaller company and you can't afford to bring in one full time, mm-hmm. and then call a fractional because we come in on anywhere from a couple hours a week to my max is 2 days a week. And so that, and basically it's a fraction of the cost because you can split it out among several companies. And what works out really well is I get to look under the hoods of different companies. And so I'm learning as I go also. And so we can kind of spread the knowledge of what's out there and how to do things. And so it seems to work very well.
Well, and I like that concept, Joe, because as you said it, that made so much sense to me that you're not going to like trade secrets, obviously, but you also learn things Absolutely and see things not. That work other places, right? When you're in your case, a COO, GM, whatever title that somebody has at your own business, it's very easy to get blinders, right? And very easy to get groupthink.
Oh, absolutely.
And now you get to bring all that background and hey, this worked over here, and I tried this over there, right? That's got to really be a benefit that you must push for what you do.
Right. Yeah, and it does bring an outside perspective. The comment you made about their trading secrets or not having secrets, not spreading. So that, yeah, I wouldn't be in business long mm-hmm. if I was out there. So that is one thing. There's confidentiality. If you go into a company, I always ask them, hey, is there any IP? Is there anything that you do not want out there? Put it on paper and then we'll have an agreement. So, yeah. And that seems to work very well. So
Sure. So how did you, you recognize the need for this, or somebody approached you for the need to this? I think it's very unique. And when I saw what you were doing, Joe, like I said, we've known each other for years. And when I saw what you were doing, I was really interested in it and thought it was very worthwhile to talk about here, because I had never really heard of a fractional COO. That just seems like something that people just hire their own person for, right? Yeah, but I do understand that probably one of the weakest spots that small businesses especially have, right, is they're very good at building some widget or making some widget or whatever it is they do, but they're not always real good at actually the art or the science or the game of running the business, right? And I just interesting if you recognize that, did somebody approach you, or how did that really, I know you kind of touched on it earlier, but I'd really like to zero in on how you got really involved with that. Did somebody come to you one day and say, Joe, you got a lot of experience and man, I need some help?
So not really. What happened is I was approached by a guy that wanted me to start up, of all things, a poly furniture store in Sarasota, Florida, and also online. And so I did that from Holmes County. But we opened a store down there, and after about a year, he ended up selling it. And I did not go along with the new owners, and so I was looking for a job, and I'm meeting with a coach here once a month, and he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, 10 years down the road, I'd like to be a consultant or an advisor or a fractional COO or something along that route. But I said, it'll be, you know, I need another 10 years of experience. And he just, you know, he told me, he says, well, look at the companies you've worked for. You've picked up a ton of experience. And I had the opportunity to work for some phenomenal companies, larger companies. And he's like, do it now. And so I just, hey, I took the leap and it's been working out well. I have discovered there is a huge need for it. Especially in our area here, there's a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of smaller companies. And these guys hustle. I mean, they have hustle, but might not have the experience, or there's areas. A lot of them are really good in most of the areas, but need a little bit of assistance in a couple of areas. And so I step in and help them there. I love technology. And in this area, a lot of the conservative people are a little bit behind. They intentionally stay behind on technology. Mm-hmm. And so I come in and I help them, you know, Excel spreadsheets, new software and all that. That's something that I really take an interest in. So I a lot of companies I can help with that to bring them up to speed. So, yeah.
So what's it look like if a guy recognizes, I need some help. I am going to get a hold of Joe. What's that look like from the very start? I mean, obviously, walk us through. If I called you up one day, said, you know what, I make some great poly furniture, but I have no idea what I'm doing outside of that. But I do know how to cut it and screw it together and glue it and whatever else I do. But beyond that, I don't really know exactly what I'm doing. How does that look from that initial reach out from a potential client?
So, yeah, so they'll call me usually, give me their pain point. And so I'll sit down, have an initial consultation. I usually travel to their office, have a consultation. And then we just kind of go through the overall picture. Basically, if they sign up, I come in and I have a roadmap. I have a framework that I work off of that I made myself. And then I have a roadmap, and we basically start at the top. At their number one pain point, we go to pain point number two. We kind of lay out a roadmap of here's how we're going to attack this. And sometimes, you know, it'll take a left turn or a right turn where we don't expect it to, but that's fine. And that's what I love. I love the challenge of new things or trying, you know, figuring things out. So if it takes a turn, I'm fine with that. We just go with it and go with the flow. And then, so some companies, I'm only in there for 3 months, and then we have solved the primary pain points, and they're good to go. They're fine. Others, I'm in long term, year, 2 years, 3 years. A lot of times, if I initially start out at a day a week, eventually it'll be maybe 2 hours every 2 weeks or whatever it may be. So.
So it is a two points that pop in my head there. Listen to that. You're going into this as a short to medium term solution, not necessarily becoming a quote, even though it would be contract, but a contract employee, if you will, for these people. You're looking at solving their problem, getting to a point where they can run it on their own. And then it sounds like the last thing you said, you almost may fall into a more of a consultative role after you've dug deep into the weeds, right? And got them kind of on a path that makes sense. Maybe it's only I let's chat a couple hours a week just to make sure I stay on course for a while. But so you're looking, it's got to be kind of interesting for you because you like to manage businesses, but there's going to be something new, not maybe there's always something new every day, right? But it's really
every
few months you're getting a new client. Every year or two, this client's moving on because you've trained them, you've got them to a point. Now you're into a new game. That's got to be pretty exhilarating, I guess is the word.
Exhilarating most of the time. It is work. I really enjoy it, but it is because you don't get into that comfort zone. You know, if you work for a company and you're an employee, you know, after a month, 6 weeks, you're in that comfort zone. You can kind of sit back, you start to relax, you fit in, you come to work, you have your routine. Well, here it's constantly changing. And so it is, it's definitely, it's work. You gotta, but it's interesting, and I absolutely love it. So,
and so how many, and I suppose it varies depending on the breadth of the contract with any given company. If you're spending 2 days a week with somebody, that just took 40% of your week out, right? For other companies. So it probably varies how many people you work with, but, thought just pops in my crazy little head is it's got to take a lot of, I want to call it homework that teachers would do after school, right? The school is just the school day. there's all that after school stuff, to grade papers, to get ready for tomorrow, to those same things. And I'm thinking about what you do, and you're probably saying, it sounds like, somewhat in the same plain folk community, construction or related businesses, I guess, but each one's different.
Correct.
So making that switch, correct, literally from, you might be with somebody, and this was really intriguing to me. And I'm guessing one part of your day would look like is you're with somebody this morning working with somebody that makes poly furniture or something. And this afternoon, somebody that, I don't know, roll forms metal or whatever it is they do, same, but not really. Right. And so that's got to be,
right,
a challenge to keep those things into, because you got to switch gears pretty quickly. Right.
Yes, it is a challenge. I've already come in and you know, we start, and yes, I do have homework. As we get off here this afternoon, I'll spend the next 2 hours doing homework for tomorrow morning's customer or client. So I'll be meeting with them, but I need to get my stuff ready. I need to have a plan of attack for tomorrow. And he's in a totally different field than the client I met with this morning. And so sometimes they'll tell me, well, I already told you that. When I ask them a question, I just tell them, hey,
just checking.
Yeah, four different clients this week. So, I do have to switch gears constantly. And it keeps it interesting. I tend to get bored quickly, so it keeps me from getting bored. So, yes.
I would imagine there's not a lot of time for boredom in your world. How many clients would you work with how many clients would you have on the books at any given time?
So I try to keep on the fractional COO end, I like to have between 3 and 4. And okay, then on the advisory end, which is the 2 hours a week or 2 hours every other week, I like to keep another 3 or 4 on there. And then that, okay, that kind of keeps the pipeline about right. So, yeah.
So you do want to keep a little time to family time or go fishing or do something, I suppose.
That's correct. That is correct. And I try to leave my Friday afternoons open. And if that's my buffer time, if I need that for my clients, we fill it in. If not, that's my time off. So, yeah.
There you go. So the operations is interesting because as a CFO, which we all know what they do, is a little more narrowed. Right, a focus.
Right.
As a COO, that's about as broad as you get, right? I mean, you're going to be involved whether it's manufacturing, whether it's service related issues, whether it's sales and marketing, whether it's financial. I mean, you're going to be pretty broad with your focus as opposed to because I think I've talked to several CFOs in my life, and again, they have to be involved in those other things for obvious reasons. But they're much more narrow focused, and that's the exciting thing. It sounds like you're working with all those aspects with your clients. I'm thinking on a regular basis, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, you're basically through the whole company. I mean, literally from the financial end of it. In a lot of companies, not all companies, but most companies, I'm in the financial end of it, in the leadership. You know, working with their leadership, working with their teams, working with company culture. And then also on their IT end, just making sure everything's up to par and that they have what they need on their software. You know, do they have the software that they need? Can we upgrade? You know, are they secure? And then sales and marketing. I work with their salespeople and their sales staff and make sure they get the training they need, which we outsource a lot of that. And then marketing, we outsource that, but I'll help them reach out and get the marketing done right. And then just operations, is it efficient? Are we running like we should be? What can we do to bring up operations? So yeah, it's all aspects of the business, which also keeps it interesting and fun. So
exactly. So when you come in to work with a client, I'm sure some clients are well aware of the needs or they wouldn't call you. There's got to be, I'm assuming at times, a reluctance on a small business owner to give up, or what they may, he or she may feel is giving up too much control. That's got to be a bit of a touchy subject to work through, isn't it? Because you got to take some control or you're not going to be able to accomplish what they're paying you to accomplish, right? But at the end of the day, it's still their business, right? So that's got to be some interesting roads to wander down.
It is. And I have been extremely blessed with the clients that I have. Most of the clients, when they call me, they're very open. So I always tell them right from the get-go, you know, transparency is key here. So you need to tell me if I'm overstepping my bounds. And that is at a different place for different owners, obviously. And I will respect that. You know, if you feel that I'm, you know, because I don't own this company and I'm not your boss. So you're exactly right. It is a different dynamic. And then there's clients that are like, whatever you say, we'll do it. And I also tell them, well, don't blindly follow me. Check your gut, you know. and yeah.
Yeah, I could see that would be important because, number one, blindly following you sets you up for a place you may not want to be, right? If they blindly follow you.
Right.
And secondarily, unless their goal is to hire you full time and that's all you're going to do, the key is for them to learn from and be put systems in place based on your guidance and expertise, and knowing that they've got this guy here, I can start this and fall back. I can call Joe if I screwed up. I mean, I've got somebody here for now. But the goal is, if following blindly would be dangerous on their standpoint for a lot of things, and probably most importantly, like you just said, is one of these days Joe's going to go back to another client. He's going to go to another client, and he's going to work as an advisor, and I've got to do this day to day. So I've got to become Joe at some point, right? And I think that's pretty key.
They need to fill that position. Yeah, they need to fill that position. So a lot of these things, I love to come in and actually, and that's another thing about being a fractional CEO is I actually work in the company versus an advisor will just come in and tell you what to do. As a COO, let's say the purchasing position has never, like there was never a designated purchaser. I will actually come in and become the purchaser. And I will do your purchasing for a period of time. I'll write out the policies and procedures that are required. And then I will help you hire a purchaser and I will train him in and bring him through the process. And so it's not like I'm just standing back and saying, here's what you need to do. In a lot of cases, I'll actually do it or help them do it and then train in the new person.
Well, and I think that's got to be key to your success in making this work, because I think a lot of folks in this type of position, type of job, if you will, would be a tendency to just come in and just advise only, set kind of on the ivory tower, so to speak, you know, the big corner office.
It would be easier.
Yeah. It'd be easier, but then you don't, how do you guide in the case of the purchaser? How do you set up procedures? How do you can't fix problems because you don't even know what the problem is until you actually do it for a while and realize, I don't know what's going on here, but this is not working. I mean, there is nothing, maybe, or what we're doing is not working. And the only way to get that is you're not going to get that from a corner office, right? You've got to get that from sitting near the computer screen and walk out back and see what the material actually is. And what do you guys actually do? All right. Right. That's because I would think. Go ahead.
No, I actually experienced the pain. I mean, you know, you don't realize that maybe they were never getting a call back from the vendor. Maybe Randy didn't get the stuff shipped out. He didn't submit my PO.
Okay, so I did that once to you, Joe. One time. Unbelievable.
Just kidding.
But you know, you hit on something a minute ago too, is that you have to be cognizant of, aware of, and deal with is the company culture too, right? If it's a culture that's good and just needs to be massaged, that's one thing. Does it need to be tweaked and adjusted? But that's probably a tougher thing to do and a tougher discussion to have with the owner, but one that probably has to be had, right? If there's issues there.
Correct.
But I still think that if I got to believe, depending on when you're coming in, if you're coming in with a fairly well-tuned operation that just needs to try to take this to the next level, then it's probably got a reasonably good culture to begin with, or it wouldn't be operating relatively successful, right? What if it's also
a lot of my clients? Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of my clients are running successfully and just want to take it to the next level, or they, just want to improve. It's not that they're out there barely making it. They're out there, they're successful, but they're the ones that realize, hey, we bring someone in, we can take it, we can make it even better. And so that makes it a lot of fun.
It does, because, and you would have a better take on this than I, but I know that, or my belief is that you take companies and pick dollars. It doesn't matter what the dollar amount is, but, you know, let's say a company's doing $4 million. Well, all of a sudden you go to $6 or $7 million. That's a big leap, right? Because there's so many more logistical things that come into play. It's not just doing a little more of each thing, right? In a lot of cases, it's a lot more of a lot of things when you make those kind of leaps, right? And that's a place
you need
that
to add positions.
Yeah, right.
You need to add positions that weren't there before. And so that in itself, now your overhead goes up and it mushrooms or it balloons, and it takes, hump between going from 7 million to 12 million is huge.
It's huge. And you almost have to, right? It's tough bullet to bite at times, but at the same token, you almost got to put that infrastructure a little bit ahead of the sales, because if you don't, you're going to either A, not get the sales, or you're going to get them and destroy yourself margin wise or customer service wise because you weren't ready, right?
Correct. Yeah. And usually it's customer service. Customer service is you make the sale, and I usually tell guys, make the sale and then let's worry about the rest. But that is dangerous, because now if you hurt your customer service, I mean, Google reviews can kill you. So you got to have customer service. You got to keep your customers happy.
Well, you do. And that's where it all starts, right? Because there's very few of us in anything that we do that we have the only thing, right? The only widget. Every product that I represent in the world, there's a whole lot of other people got widgets like mine. I mean, you can give all the dog and pony why mine's better and I do this and we do, we all have that stuff, right? But at the end of the day, there's a whole lot of other people out there that have this, a product that fulfills the same need, right? So it really comes back to, you know, there's that old price, quality, service thing, but I always felt like it ought to be quality, service, price, right? Or service, quality, price. Price should always be the last of those three in that triad, right? Because if you don't have the quality in the service, the price is kind of irrelevant anyways, right?
Correct. Yep.
So, well, that's pretty exciting. It's really cool that you're doing something that you love and bringing that assistance and help to people that realize they need it. But one thing I wanted to go back to the culture for a second, because I'm just thinking about you coming in. Things are running as they're running, maybe fairly good, right? You said successful, but the owner wants to go to the next level. Besides dealing with the owner, you've got to deal with the people too, right? And all of a sudden we're kind of rolling along and I've got my job here that I do. And all of a sudden this knucklehead with a cap and a beard comes in and somehow he's telling everybody what to do. And I don't think I like this. And what's that mean for me? And that's not the way we always do it. And I sort of enjoy the way I've always done it. Right. So you've really got you've got to make sure that you work with that as well too. Right.
Yeah, you definitely need to. I need to tread carefully when I go in there, because they instantly are wondering why or what's going on. And so I literally just started a new client this week, and I told him, I said, do your employees know that I'm here? And he said, yes. And I asked him, I said, do they know why I'm here? Because his business is not struggling. This guy has a phenomenal business. He just wants to take it to the next level. And he goes, no, they don't know why you're here. And I said, you need to tell them. Because I said, the first thing they're going to think is that, oh, you're bringing him in because we're in trouble. And I said, your company is far from in trouble, but you don't even want them to think that. So you're right. And so I make a point, like yesterday, I walked, hit the floor. I went out and I talked to his employees and just made a point of making them comfortable and making them understand that I'm here to help you. And we just want to take this thing to the next level. We want to work on efficiency, you know, but we want to work together. And I always ask them for input. And that is key, is to get input. And if they get, you know, if they have some input, they feel and they do. They have some say. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's so valuable because that seems like it ought to be management 101, right? Is you need to get your people's buy-in, absolutely, right? You just need to buy in from your people. 100%. This idea that I'm going to sit on some big, tall podium and preach from the pulpit, if you will, and tell you exactly the way everything's going to be and how you're going to do everything. There's times for that, right? There's times where this is the rule and I listen to you, but this is how we're going to do it. Obviously, that's fair. But you want your people to go, yeah, I get this. This is where we're going to go. And if this business is more successful, kind of how we get raises, right? That's how we get extra benefits. It's how we actually... Yeah. We actually might keep our job, right? If the business is successful, right. It's because as I think Sean Hannity, big Fox News guy once said, I remember one time he said, I need to work for people and help people be successful because he says, I've never really got pay raises and got promotions working for businesses that were almost out or going out of business, right?
100%.
I need to work for somebody that's profitable. And that way I can, like I said, I can get the raise. I can get the extra time off. I can get the company vehicle. I can get whatever it is that you want for your little world.
Get the bonus, yeah.
You're not going to get it unless that business is profitable. So, well, Joel, this is incredible. I love this whole concept. And I appreciate you being on and appreciate your friendship over the years. And, you took some time out of your busy schedule to jump on. We appreciate that. We get to rambling and talking, and there's frequently asked questions all the time, right? But as Wes just popped up there, what's a should ask question that either we forgot today or that you get out in your community that people go, okay, what do you do, Joe? What is it that you do? Why do you do this? What's a question that maybe you get asked that you want to maybe address quickly before we get out of here?
Sure. Yeah. And thank you for having me, by the way. But yeah, the should ask question, what's the biggest benefit? Why would I bring you in if our company is successful? And you touched on it earlier, but it's the outside perspective. Is basically what it boils down to. Why would you bring me in? To bring in that outside perspective, to have that view, like you said, you get that tunnel vision but when you have someone coming in that's seen different things from different angles and different companies, it can definitely bring a new perspective and just help. It might be little things, but if you put enough of those in place, it will click.
Exactly. Compounding has a great benefit, whether it's in interest or whether it's in just relationships, networking, whatever the case is. Compounding, you throw winds on the wind pile, right? And they just keep compounding with each other.
That's
so
right.
And absolutely. The funny thing is everything's incremental, right? That's something I talk about a lot and I really believe is we all shoot for the big win. You always want the big win. Big wins are fun. They're exciting. But there's most of the time you're going to get small, tiny little wins and you just keep tossing them on the wind pile, right? That's the way life really works.
That is exactly right. Yeah. And that's what people think, hey, if I hire someone, can we just fix this in a day? If there is an issue, the answer is no.
Right.
It's the little things. We're going to work on the little things and it'll become a big thing. So yeah.
There you go. Well, Joel, so we've been running across the bottom, how to get a hold of you, at your website, it's probably the best. What is that? YoderBusiness.com. Is that correct?
Correct. That's okay. Correct. Yep.
And follow you on LinkedIn and whatever else. And I can tell you, I can highly recommend, I haven't dealt with you from this aspect, but having dealt with you for years, you're a stand-up guy, man. And people will be, would benefit themselves greatly and to reach out to you if they have a need. So you're very welcome. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story, my man.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been great. And it's a pleasure.
And since I invited you on the show, you do owe me some barbecued pork or some smoked pork someday down there if you're still doing it when I get
there. Hey, yeah. Stop in next. Shoot me up next time or hit me up next time you're up here. And
I'll do it.
I'll get you some.
I know you will. You have connections, man. I love it. All right, Joe. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Thank you. You have a good one.
You bet. You as well. Cheers. All right, Joel Yoder. Like I said, I've known Joe for many, many years. He does make some good barbecue too, even though that's not his big gig anymore. But so you've learned a little bit today about a chief operating officer, a fractional chief operating officer. Wow. That was pretty interesting to me, and hope it was to you. So anyway, that's it for now. I have got to run. I got more stuff to do. And just Wes and I and Joe, we're doing right here what we talk about all the time. Love what we do and do what you love. You got to live it, love it, own it. And while you're at it, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.